Hello, this is Julian Gerdam from sccenglish.ie, the blog of the English Department of St. Columba's College in Dublin, Ireland. This is the second of a series of very brief podcasts on characters in Hamlet. 10 characters in Hamlet, not including the main ones. A couple of days ago, I did one on Fortinbras. And today, here is another on another of the young men of the play. Everyone has, or needs, or longs for, or once had, a best friend, and Hamlet, that most tortured and lonely of souls, also has one. A man who, amidst the betrayals and corruption of the Danish court at Elsinore, is steadfastly loyal. Horatio might seem to be one of the less interesting characters in this play. Much less interesting than Hamlet, of course, but also the distressed Ophelia or the villainous Claudius. Decency is not always fascinating. But he does deserve our attention, because he is trusted so much by Hamlet. It's Horatio who breaks the astonishing news of what is haunting the battlements to Hamlet. It is Horatio who Hamlet entrusts with the facts of his father's death, when he asks him to observe Claudius at the play. It is Horatio to whom Hamlet returns from England, and who then accompanies him. And it is Horatio to whom Hamlet addresses his final words, and who speaks for him after his death. After that list, he shouldn't need any persuading of his importance. In some sense, Horatio is also important because, among the varied characters of this play, he is just particularly ordinary, rather like the rest of us. In Act 1, Scene 4, when Hamlet joins him on the battlements, he advises his friend not to follow the ghost, saying, "Do not, my lord. What if it tempt you towards the flood, my lord, or to the dreadful summit of the cliff that beetles o'er his base into the sea, and there assume some other horrible form, which might deprive your sovereignty of reason, and draw you into madness? Think of it." Much later in the play, he again tries to stop his friend doing something dangerous. In Act 5, Scene 2, he is suspicious of the proposed fencing match. "If your mind dislike anything, obey it. I will forestall their repair hither, and say you are not fit." Hamlet, however, declines this offer. He is ready. In other words, Horatio does what most sensible people would do in these situations. And it's just this moderate good sense which would make him a hopeless central subject for a tragedy, or indeed any other kind of play. You should have a good look at an important and most interesting moment in Act 3, Scene 2, just before the play is put on for the court. Hamlet tells Horatio that he is e'en as just a man as e'er my conversation coped withal. And when Horatio tries to interrupt to turn down this compliment, Hamlet then launches into a long description of the qualities which have made Horatio the man he most admires. "Thou hast been as one in suffering all that suffers nothing, a man that fortunes, buffets and rewards has ta'en with equal thanks. And blessed are those whose blood and judgment are so well commeddled that they are not a pipe for fortune's finger to sound what stop she please. Give me that man that is not passion's slave, and I will wear him in my heart's core, I in my heart of heart as I do thee." And then he suddenly becomes almost embarrassed at being carried away. "Something too much of this," he says, and turns his words to the coming play. Why has he got carried away? Because in passionately describing Horatio's qualities, he is giving a reverse portrait, a photographic negative of what he himself is, passion's slave, buffeted by fortune, a pipe for fortune's finger. In Horatio, we see everything that Hamlet is not.